That's a topic for today, as you saw on the sheet, Karban Pesach, Karban Chagiga in Chutz La'aretz. It's not just for B'nai Chutz La'aretz, but that's a key part of the discussion. If you remember the Tosfos in the beginning of Pesachim, it's on the sheet also regarding Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, that's sort of the centerpiece for this. The part that's in the Menachas Chinuch is Sivka and Yud Gimel. That's really where he gets into the discussion. We'll be sort of going in and out of what he has there. The two main questions we need to address are the mitzvos of Aliyah L'Regel and Karban Pesach. The two get intertwined in very easily. The Tosfos seems to merge the two, but I want to address them separately, and that may help make some sense of things. So, first of all, in terms of the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, who is Potter from Aliyah L'Regel? Well, the Rambam gives us a list. If you take a look on your sheet, source number one, right? Rambam in Hilchos Chagiga says, Nashim va'avadim p'tur min hare'iya, v'chol ha'anashim chayavim b're'iya, men are all chayav chutz, except for the following list. Mecheresh ve'ilaim, right? Person who's deaf and mute, a person who is mute. Remember the discussions there in the Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga, you have to see the way you are seen, and that whole discussion. Vishota, someone who's mentally incompetent. The katan, a minor. Vesuma, a blind man. Vechiger, and the one who is lame as well. Vetame, one who is tame, obviously. He can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. Va'aral, as well as someone who doesn't have a bris mila. Vechein hazakein, and someone who is elderly. Ve'achol, as someone who is ill. Vaharach ve'anog me'od, as well as somebody who is very soft. Somebody who is pampered. She'enam yecholim la'alos ha'ragleya, and they can't go on foot. We're going to revisit that a little bit later. Kol elu ha'achandosar p'tur, and all 11 of these categories, I'm taking his word for it, I didn't count them, are p'tur u'shar kol ha'anashim chayev b'riya. But if you can find your way to not be in these 11 categories, then you're chayev in aliyah l'regel. Remember that aliyah l'regel is not only that you go to the Beis HaMikdash, it's also that you bring a karban, right? The olas riya, you bring a karban ola at your appearance at the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Good. That's our background, and it leads us into Tosfos and the story of Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira. To recap the story, it's a fun story, right? The Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim has somebody not Jewish bragging that he goes to the Beis HaMikdash every year, and he participates in the Karban Pesach, and he gets to eat from the Karban Pesach, and ha-ha, I really fooled those Jews. The Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira is very clever, and he says, tell me, do they give you from the Eliyah, right? The Eliyah mikasafu lach, they give you from the tail fat. Knowing, of course, that's the part that gets put on the Mizbeach. And the guy says, no, that's not what they give me. And he says, yeah, they know you're not Jewish, and that's why they're giving you that part. That's why they're not giving you the tail fat. The tail fat is really the best stuff. If they thought you were Jewish, they'd give you the tail fat. Now, why is it that this non-Jew was participating before and didn't know that the tail fat was going on the Mizbeach? Who knows? If I didn't know what to look for. But in any case, the guy goes the next year, and he asks for the tail fat, and they say, aha, wait, why is this guy asking for tail fat? And then they start investigating, they discover he's not Jewish, and they actually execute him, which raises questions in the Rishonim as to why exactly they're executing him. Is that really the penalty that should have been brought? Why did they do that? Why didn't they investigate earlier? All these are very good questions about the story, but not germane right now. The big question is, the Gemara concludes with praise for Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, saying, wow, you're amazing, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, Ashrecha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, you're living in Netzivan, and your net extends all the way to Yerushalayim. Good. Wonderful story. But Tosfos says, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira go on the other regel? Why is he sending a message in code this way? Why didn't he just go? He's there for the mitzvah, right? So the assumption Tosfos makes is that he's not there for the mitzvah. Tosfos assumes that Yehuda ben Seira doesn't make the trip. Take a look, please, at source number two. From that Tosfos Me'elia. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira shalo ala l'regel. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira did not go to the Beis HaMikdash, yishlo mar shalo hayalo karka. Answer number one, he had no land. Okay. Had no land. Was that on my list in the Rambam? No. Oh, Zakein, or maybe he was elderly. Zakein ha'yeshenu yachol l'halach v'raglov, and he couldn't go on foot. That is in the Rambam's list, right? The Rambam mentioned the Zakein with that group that cannot go on foot. Okay, so we have one. Departami Pesach kemo meri'iyah, who is exempt from the Korban Pesach as he is exempt from Aliyah l'regel. Ooh, well, that introduced a new thought. The Rambam just connected the two. We don't know nothing about Korban Pesach, nor will we until the second half of this year. the Inami, alternatively, Nitzivan Chutz La'aretz, Nitzivan is outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he says, I can prove to you it's out of Eretz Yisrael. Kedemuchach b'sifri, Parshas Re'eh, you can find it in the Sifri and Re'eh, v'betargim Yerushalmi, v'erech v'akad v'chalmei, v'eretz shin'ar, that pasuk, Metargim, if you look in Onkelos' commentary, he says, Va'adas u'nitzivan u'ketisvi. So we translate Akkad as Nitzivan, Akkad being Akkadia, right? Like the ancient Semitic language, Akkadian, is a language that's not in is a land that's not in in Eretz Yisrael, it's actually Babylonian. So Nitzivan is in Babel. So he's living outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore apparently he's not Chayiv in Aliyah L'Regel, he doesn't have to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Well, that's a very interesting approach too. That was not in the Rambam's list. So I need to understand what exactly are two out of these three exemptions. The Zakin one we got, right? But this business about not only land, this business about being a Chutz La'aretz, what does that have to do with anything? Not only that, if you take a look at source number three, we find again this idea. Tosis in the beginning of Chagiga, where they talk about Aliyah L'Regel, and they say that Chirish, Shota, and Akatan are not Chayiv and Aliyah L'Regel. Tosis says the fact that we give you this general rule, everybody's Chayiv except Chirish, Shota, and Akatan, doesn't mean that that's an exclusive list of exceptions. There are more exceptions beyond this list in the Mishnah. Ein lemedim in aklalos, we should not deduce anything from the klal that we stayed there. Afilu b'makom shenemar bochutz, even though it says everyone is chayiv except for chereshot devekatan, yeah, there are other excepts too. Kidei amrin bereish pakol ma'arvin, he gives you the quote from Erevin. Da tana b'shayir mekametsu borsiu mishein lo karka, because after all, it also didn't mention the various people. Mekametsu is a person, if I remember correctly, who collects soas klavim, he collects excrement. The people don't want to hang out with him, so he's better for him to stay home, not go for a little regular. The Borsi is the tanner. He has similar odor issues. And someone who doesn't own land. And he says, those aren't in the Mishnah, but we know they're on the exemption list. So Tosus believes Misha and Lokarka is exempt. Right? He says it here, as he said it in Psachim. And he goes on, and my point is not to go through the whole Tosus. My point is only that key point that it isn't just one Tosfos in Psachim, but it's reiterated in a comment in Tosfos in Chagiga. So let's go through these exemptions one by one. First of all, the Zakin, right? The elders. So the Zakin we know is exempt. It's a Mishnah in Chagiga. It's a Gemara in Chagiga. We saw it already in the Rambam that the elderly are exempt from making the trip. Okay. What about land? So Rav Menachem Ganak wrote a sefer called the Gan Shoshanim, with assorted essays on different topics. And in his essay, it's Simon Nunhei, he tried to explain why somebody who didn't own land would be exempt from Aliyah L'Regel. And it's a brilliant idea. Take a look, please. Source number four, the Gemara in Psachim Dav Ches Amud Beis. Itmar, we learned. Amar Rabbi Elazar Shluchei Mitzvah En Nizokin. Right, you remember why this is brought in Psachim? This has to do with Bedikas Chametz, the issue of checking for Chametz. If I have a house with that wall is the end of my house, and I have shelves in the wall, cubbies really, and the cubbies extend through to the other side, and the neighbor on the other side is not Jewish, so the concern is that I'm walking around my house at night with a candle. And he sees that through the hole, and he sees me looking in the cubby hole too with the candle. He thinks, God knows what this Jew next door is doing. Is this sorcery? Is he a thief? Why is this Jew walking around his house at night with a candle looking in through the cubby and all that? And he's going to attack me. So therefore, I am exempt from searching for chametz with these cubbies with a candle. Lest the non-Jew next door attack me. And the Gemara asks, oh, wait a minute. You're engaged in a mitzvah, you should be protected. To which the answer is, that doesn't mean you have to be an idiot. No? You're protected within reason. If you're going to do something unreasonable to place yourself in danger, Hashem says, that's your problem, that's not my problem. This is within that category. So the Gemara discusses how shluchei mitzvah work in general. Amar Rabbi Elazar, shluchei mitzvah ein nizok and lo b'halichasan v'lo b'chazirasan. People engaged in performing a mitzvah are not harmed, not in their halicha, their trip to do the mitzvah, and not in their chazara, not in their return. The Gemara then asks, v'chimei achar dafil b'chazira b'halicha lamali. Once you tell me that you're not going to be harmed when you're returning from the mitzvah, obviously you're not going to be harmed when you're on your way, right? Hashem doesn't want you to be prevented from doing the mitzvah. So why did you need to say it? Look at the Rabbi Ami. We needed it because it was teaching me a different lesson. The lesson of Rabbi Ami. Damar Rabbi Ami, because Rabbi Ami says, Kol Adam Sheyesh Lo Karka Olo L'Regel, V'Shein Lo Karka Ein Olo L'Regel. He adds a dimension. If you own land, then you are Olo L'Regel. If you don't own land, you are not Olo L'Regel. Well, the part that I ellipsize is the discussion of the Pasuk V'Oyach Mot Ishes Arzacha Ba'alos Chalei Roth, which is the Pasuk of Aliyah L'Regel. We deduce from there that you're going to be protected. When you go for Aliyah L'Regel, you don't have to worry that someone's going to steal your land. That's the that's the source for this. So Rabbi Ami says, from the fact that we mention both en route and your return, it actually tells me not only that if you have land, you need not worry when you go, but you only need to go if you own land. If there is no land being left behind, then you don't go at all. Going is predicated upon there being land to leave behind. That's a remarkable statement, right? Aliyah L'Regel is only an obligation if I have land to leave behind. That's what Rabbi Ami is saying. The next piece here in the Gemara does not seem to have any connection to what came before yet. We're going to explain what the connection may be. We'll read through it right now. Amar Rabbi Avin Bar Rav Ada, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Mevdeimai in Peres Ginoser B'Yerushalayim. Ginoser is the term we use in the Targum for Kinneret. So he says, why is it that all the beautiful produce we have by the Kinneret is not in Yerushalayim? Why doesn't Yerushalayim have beautiful trees and all that? So he says, Kadesh Yehu Ole Rogalim Omrim El Malay Lo Alinu El Lachal Peres Ginoser B'Yerushalayim Dayenu Nimtzis Aliyah Shelo Lishma. He says, the fear is people will go to Yerushalayim just for that. And they'll say, even if I had only come to Yerushalayim just to eat the produce, that would have been sufficient. And that's terrible. That's Shelo Lishma. We don't think Shelo Lishma is that bad. But that was the idea. Even though the Gemara elsewhere notes that that one of the reasons why the Chachamim decreed, well, the reason actually, the Gemara in Erevin says, the reason why the Chachamim decreed that for Net Deravai, if you lived within a day's travel of Yerushalayim, you had to bring the produce there. You didn't have the option of redeeming it for cash, bringing the cash there was to beautify the markets of Yerushalayim with produce. Nonetheless, we're reading Hashem's mind in saying Hashem didn't give Yerushalayim produce because he wanted you not to go for the sake of the produce. That's number one. And then, Kayotze, both similarly, Amar Rabbi Dostoy, Rabbi Yanam, Ibn Emayin, Chame, Tiberia, Yerushalayim. Why is it that Tiberia has these beautiful hot springs? Why aren't they in Yerushalayim? Kadesh lo yu ole regalim omrim il mole lo alinu lalechos b'chamei tiveria dayenus, that people won't say, had I only gone there for the hot springs, that would have been sufficient. V'nim tisaliya shalo lishma, and again, then they're going as shalo lishma. Interesting to note, this may be part of the opposition that develops between Tziporia and Yerushalayim. Right? They leave Yerushalayim, and eventually, through Yavne, through Rusha, the center ultimately ends up being Tziporia. That's where Rebbe canonizes the Mishnah. Tiveria is Chamei Tiveria, and Peres Ginoser are Tiveria as well. Tiveria is on the Kinneret. So it's worth noting that that association is certainly, by the time you're getting to these Amoraim, Tiveria is well established, Tziporia is well established as the new center. And they're asking, why didn't Yerushalayim have these wonders of Tiveria? In any case, that's the Gemara in Psachim. So Viginak builds this idea and says, maybe the point is that one must own land in order to display bitachon. And Tosfos, in saying Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra isn't Olo L'Regel because he doesn't own land, is following the view of Rabbi Ami. I thought this was actually an interesting idea. I took it a step further once. Why do we have a... I shouldn't say why do we have. We're not supposed to say mitzvahs because of reason X. One of the major lessons of Aliyah L'Regel is a reenactment of Lech Te'acharai Bamidbar. Right? Just as each of the regalim commemorates an aspect of the trip from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, right? Kibas Sukkos or Shavuot has been a Yisrael, Pesach is the Yitzhiyah itself and Yamsuf, Shavuos is Matan Torah, right? The idea is that each one reflects some aspect of the Midbar experience. Aliyah L'Regel is imitating Lech Te'acharai Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zeruah, imitating traveling after Hashem in this wilderness, right? So if you don't have land to abandon, it isn't the same thing. The point is, you gave up security in order to follow Hashem. A person who didn't have any security isn't going through the same thing. But maybe that was a maybe that was an idea. In any case.
So Kohanim didn't go up?
So yeah, that's what it sounds like, isn't it? I mean, the Kohanim had a different reason to go. And they would be hoping to get a share.
Yeah, but not everybody was in the Mishmar.
Yeah. No, it's true, but maybe people would bring their truma since they're going anyway. They want to give it to a Kohen. They bring their Meister Shein. They bring other things. Maybe they, you know, bring something to distribute. But yeah, it's a good question. And apparently they're not going. We're going to see a little bit later a question about a ger. The problem with Rabbi Yenach's point is the Rambam. Because if we really follow Rabbi Ami, then why didn't the Rambam list Ein Lo Karka? Right? We saw the Rambam in source number one. So, two approaches. One, yeah.
Why are we avoiding saying that machlokas between Rambam and Tosfos?
Oh, we could. We could end up saying it's machlokas on Tosfos. That's my first approach. I have two approaches. One approach is not everybody agrees with Rabbi Ami. Tosfos may agree with Rabbi Ami, but the Rambam may not. The second approach is a possible yishuv, but the first approach is, yeah, not everybody agrees, and indeed, that's the Noda Yehuda's approach. The Noda Yehuda addresses this this question of Rabbi Ami, and he says, not everybody agrees with Rabbi Ami. After all, he says, look, Rabbi Ami made his deduction from the pasuk of Lechmod Ishes Artzecha, that no one will desire your land while you are away, saying that, well, I already knew that you were protected, and so the pasuk is superfluous, and all that. But he says, if you go back and look at Rav, in that Gemara, in Psachim, in Psachim, if you go back and look at Rav there, I didn't bring it on the page. But you know what? I have. I brought the Noda Yehuda, even better. Take a look first at source number 5. Source number 5 is the Mishnah LeMelech. He asks the question. He says, Vidai, you should know. Right? He says, it's a Gemara Psachim, that if you have land, you go. You don't have land, you don't go. I don't understand why the Rambam didn't include this. And if his reason is because in the beginning of Chagiga we had a list and it only said Chereshota Katan are exempt, and it didn't mention the case of the person who doesn't have any land, Holokasha, that wouldn't be a challenge to Rabbi Ami. We saw it, that the list isn't exhaustive. Not only that, in that Tosfos, it sounds like it's a given that if you don't have land, you're potter, finished. And so was in that Tosfos that we saw in source number 2. The Divrei Rabbeinu Tzrichim Li Talmud, he says, I don't know why the Rambam left it out. So source number 6 is the Noda Yehuda. And the Noda Yehuda says, Vani Tama, I am surprised. Lama Heflit Deleka Choleka Rabbi Ami. He says, I am surprised at the Mishnah LeMelech. What did the Mishnah LeMelech assume? The same question you just asked, right? He says, why did the Mishnah LeMelech assume that everybody agrees with Rabbi Ami? Valo Shom Bimakomo Matsinu Cholek. We found in that Gemara, in Psachim, that there's somebody who disagrees. Dekach Isa Shom. This is the way the Gemara flows there. Deshalu LeRav. They asked Rav a question. Hani Bnei Bei Rav. The guys from the yeshiva, okay, Bar Bei Rav is someone who learns in yeshiva. The yeshiva guys, the Dari Bebagi, who live out in the open areas, hefker areas, they don't own land. So the point wasn't actually ownership of land. I'm sorry. The point in his initial question was, it's dangerous. So should they come in early in the morning? Should they leave when it's late at night? It's going to be dark outside. They're going to get hurt. They should be coming to Beis Medrash only during the daylight hours. So Omar, he said, alive al Tzavari, it's on my head if they come to the Beis Medrash when it's still dark outside. He addressed coming to the Beis Medrash. Lemezel Mau, what about leaving at night on the way back from the mitzvah? Omar lo yadana, he said, I don't know. Ubasar hachi, ma'isiya gemara, Omar belazer, shluchei mitzvah, nizakam lo ba'alichasam lo ba'chazirasam, and then the gemara goes through this whole thing about shluchei mitzvah. Kiman, like whom? And he's giving you the whole Gemara in Psachim, everything that I skipped. His point is that Rav there is not willing to guarantee their safe passage home. That's the point. Rabbi Ami predicated his statement on the idea that it was obvious to us that they're safe on the way there and on the way back. And therefore the pasuk must be superfluous to teach me you only are chayiv in aliyah l'regel if you have land. Rav, from the fact that he's not willing to guarantee their safe passage home, must not believe that this pasuk is superfluous. So therefore he disagrees with Rabbi Yami. Rav is a pretty good one to depend on. If you need somebody to depend on, certainly in Yisr v'Heter matters, Rav is your man. So how indeed will he then know that in their that on their way there they won't be harmed? He gets that from Le'achmod Yishas Artzacha, that no one will desire your land. So I need that pasuk for its own lesson of Shulchan Mitzvah. And it's not superfluous to use for Rabbi Ami, but less Leila Rav, Hacht Rabbi Ami, and Rav must disagree with Rabbi Ami. So the note of you that says.
Excuse me. Yeah. It doesn't, I mean, it's not an issue that going there he's still considered to be, he's still protected. It's only back that he's a Suffolk.
Correct.
That's not an issue?
No, because
you know, he's still Shluchan Mitzvah and Nizakin at least part of the way.
Yes.
The Shaila is coming back, so the pasuk would cover the coming back.
No, the pasuk covers the way there.
He deduces
the way there from the pasuk.
Oh,
Rabbi Ami says I don't need the pasuk at all.
Yeah,
Rabbi Ami says I know in principle you are protected on your way there and on your way back, and the pasuk isn't needed to teach me either of those. Rav says I need the pasuk to teach me that you're protected on the way there. That's the idea. Yeah. Either you adopt them both as a principle, or you're only adopting one, in which case you need a pasuk for it. Rabbi Yanak, in his article, brings another proof that not everybody agrees with Rabbi Ami. A little bit of a side discussion, but it's an interesting one. Take a look at source number 7. They deal with the issue of a minor. We know there's a mitzvah chinuch for ketanim, right? Is there a mitzvah chinuch, though, for ketanim who will not be chayiv in mitzvos even if they should reach the appropriate age? They won't be chayiv in the mitzvah anyway. Let's say a katan shota, right? Is a katan shota obligated in learning, or are we obligated to teach him? That's the question. Take a look.
Is your shota first or a katan first?
Well, it's not even that. It's an issue of, is he the type of katan we need to train? Is the definition of chinuch that I have to train all katanim, or is the definition of chinuch I have to train people to do what they're going to do when they become adults?
What's the svar to say that it should be like that? That he should be trained? I can understand the svar why he should be trained,
why he should not be.
Why he should not be.
Yeah. Right.
In other words, he's going to do it in order to teach him later on either the cheshivas of the mitzvah or to get him used to doing the mitzvah.
Right.
Shoita is neither which.
Right. So take a look. Take a look at source number 7. Good question. Boy, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon asks, Kadan, I added it in brackets there to make it read clearer. Kadan shu chiger. Okay, you have a minor who is lame. L'dibre Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, who says that one who is lame is exempt. V'kadan shu suma l'dibre shneihem, or if he's blind, according to both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, who says that a blind person is exempt. So, mahu, what's the law? Do you have to bring him or not? So they ask, Echidami, well, what's your case? If it's a case that's not going to be reversed,
it's not a mumay for obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. The gadol, if he were an adult, he would be exempt. You need to even ask me about as a minor. Obviously, there's no chinuch involved. Lo, he says you're right. I have no svara for the case where it would not be obligated as an adult and where it's not changing. That's not even a question. My question is, what about a reversible scenario? I don't know that it'll reverse. I don't know that it won't reverse. So do I train him now, even though in his current condition he would be exempt if he were an adult? That's my question. So Amar says, If were he a gadol, he would have a biblical obligation, then rabbinically I have to teach him as a katan. But if in his present state, were he an adult, he would be exempt biblically. So midirabanan katan nami poter, I don't have mitzvah chinuch, even though his situation may change. Right now, his situation has not changed. That's the statement. And the point that Rabbi Yanak draws from this is, you're telling me, according to Rabbi Ami, you're only chayiv if you own land. Ketanim don't own land. Right? So therefore, there should be no issue. To which my answer is, well, that's considered curable.
Yeah, they may.
Right?
Come
like
later
a,
on.
But he's, like
that's not where the limit is coming. He brings the limit. What's the, you know, what's the situation at the moment?
Right.
But it, even in such a situation, I mean, a katan may own land later on. So.
Well, a katan cannot own land
later on.
Right. No, that's what I was saying. No, but that's my point. Yeah. That's what Beganax is saying. He says if the Gemara believed land was a requirement, all katanim would be patrim automatically because they don't own land. They cannot acquire. This is one approach. It's not everybody agrees with Rabbi Ami, and indeed it's a machlokas Rambam Tosfos. Then my question is, well, why didn't Tosfos agree with the Rambam? Why doesn't Tosfos see that not everybody agrees with Rabbi Ami? However, the Torah Tmimo offers an interesting possibility. And the Torah Tmimo has, if you take a look at the Ha'ara here, it's in source number 8. The Ula Yesh Lomar, you could say, the Svir Leila Rambam, Kmoshakasav Agos, Mamonios, Perigim Halacha Zayin, Mishluchim B'Shem Agaonim, Dilachin Kosin Barshaos, Viknesi Lo Arba Amos, Af Alpi, Kshiadua Shein Lo Karka. He says, the Agos Mamonios writes in Halacha Shluchim, citing the Gaonim, that we write in the documents when you license somebody to collect a debt from your land. Right? He can collect it from my 4 amos. Even when we don't know of any 4 amos that he has whatsoever. Why? Because everyone has 4 amos in Eretz Yisrael. Lots of them trying to collect from the invisible land, but everyone has a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, let's borrow that here. He says, we agree with Rabbi Yami in principle, but it has no application. Because everybody owns karka. When it said, no one will desire your land, didn't mean your land per se. It meant what you have in general. Whatever you have, all of your possessions. Now, obviously, this Taref Mima does not square with Tosos about him being in Nitzivan and not having Karka. Right? Because Tosfos said explicitly, the reason he didn't go is because the Torah Tzimah is not solving for Tosfos.
No, Gemara also says in the Karka.
The Gemara said, Shiesh lo Karka lo Regavish. Yeah. Although he'll argue that that's maybe philosophical and not practical.
No, but everybody has some sort of a belonging.
Maybe you can sell it. I have a different problem. If you accept Rabbi Yenach's premise, that it's all about not being afraid that someone's going to take your land, so you have no fear that someone's going to steal your invisible land. You're not even living there right now. wherever you're living, you don't know that that's your 4 amos. The whole thing is, it's a very interesting approach from the Torah Tmima, but it's a little difficult. But that's the land patur. So again, we have the Rambam and Hilchos Chagiga listing those who are Padur. Tosfos, in discussing why Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is not Ola Regel, offers us 3 exemptions. The Zakein one, right? So that we got. He's a Zakein, everybody agrees he'll be Padur. The non-ownership of land, which may trace to the Shita of Rabbi Ami. The Rambam does not bring that view of Rabbi Ami, but that's okay. Maybe he disagrees. And then you have this potential yishuv, this potential resolution via the Torah Tmima. And then you have the third exemption. He's outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is a Canadian. So therefore he doesn't have to be Ola Rega. Well, where in the world does that come from? Well, who invented that idea? So if you take a look on your sheet, Rabbi Ginnak offers a very interesting possibility. The rule by a Bechor animal, okay, is that if I have a Bechor animal, I don't need to bring it as a carbon if I'm in Chutz La'aretz. It requires Havas Makom. There is no Chiv if I'm outside of Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, take a look at source number 9, where the Rambam makes an extension of that. Meiser Sheni, Hol V'Ton Havas Makom. Since Meiser Sheni requires being brought to Yerushalayim, Ein Mevi'en Osom in Chutz La'aretz, you don't bring it from outside Eretz Yisrael. Ke Bechor Behema, it's like the Bechor animal. Which is why in Syria they said you don't even need to separate Meiser Sheni. So maybe, says Rabbi Ginnak, maybe Tosfos is saying that since the Karban Chagiga that you bring for Aliyah L'Regel requires your presence, you have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So one who is in Chutz La'aretz is Potter. Just like for Bechor, just like for Meiser Sheni. Now, then why didn't the Rambam say so? I don't know. The Turei Aven, offers us another approach. Tari Evan in the Gemara, the beginning of Chagiga, says it's because land that's outside of Israel doesn't count as land. That's not land. So in other words, this is the same as the Petur of Ein Lo Karka. You live in Chutz Laretz, you're like the Ein Lo Karka. Take a look at the Gemara. He quotes as evidence, Kiddushin Daf Lamed Tes, source number 10. Amar Shmuel. Es chukos aitishmoru, the Torah says, right? You shall guard my laws. Chukim shechakati lochakvar, the laws I gave you already. Ben decholo serbia kilayim sancholo zizra kilayim, right? They don't mate your animal with other species. Don't plant kilayim in your field. So the link between behema and sada is to say, ma behemtecha beharba avsadcha beharkava. Just like with the animal, it's actively mating them. That's the problem. Physically mating the two, so do with the field. It's actually doing the graft yourself. And just like with the animal, it applies no matter where you are. So too for your field. The rule of the prohibition of kilayim is wherever you are. Even though I would have assumed that, like most land mitzvos, it's Israel specific, right? Remember the Mishnah that this is on, actually, in Kiddushin, right at the end of the first parak, about land mitzvahs being Israel specific. We have a couple of exceptions. This is one of them. I would have thought it would be in Israel only. Kamash Malan is teaching me that just like Kilei Behema are even outside of Israel, so too Kilayim in the field. Nu ve'elok siv socha, but the Pasuk says, your field. Doesn't that mean Israel? No, we distinguish between seeds, planting one kind, planting trees. That's not important for us. The key for us is the question that they ask at the end. Well, it says sadcha, so how could that mean outside of Israel? That's what the Gemara asks. Rashi clarifies what they're asking. Take a look at source number 11. Vaksiv sadcha, the Pasuk says sadcha, hameyuchad lecha, that which is designated for you. Hashem didn't give you chutz la'aretz, right? Unless your name is Reuven Gad or half of Menashe. Hashem didn't give you chutz la'aretz. That's not yours, but it's not what Hashem is assigning to you, and therefore it doesn't have significance. And similarly, there's a Gemara in Erchin. There's a footnote in the Turei Evan from Moshe Shapira. He points out that the Gemara in Erchin says that land outside of Eretz Yisrael is like metaldolin. It's considered like movable items, which is really a remarkable statement. So, Tosfos, we have two possible bases for Tosfos about Chutz La'aretz. One basis is, since you live so far away, you're in Chutz La'aretz, just like for Bechor and Meiser Sheni, you don't have a chiyuv. The Meiser Sheni, you would know you don't have a chiyuv anyway, but Surya is the key. This area that David conquered, I might have thought we would have implemented Meiser Sheni. No, we don't, because it's outside of Eretz Yisrael. So too for Aliyah LeRegel. That's one approach. And then the second approach is that land outside of Israel doesn't constitute land for this purpose. So you are considered to be within the category of somebody who does not own land. So far, so good? Clear? Good. The second piece of this is Karban Pesach, because what Tosfos did here is a little bit criminal. He linked the two in a way that isn't at all clear, right? Tosfos said, in listing the Peturim back in source number 2, he said, the one who can't walk on his feet, Zakin Haya, he was elderly and couldn't walk on his feet, Depater mi Pesach kamomai re'iyah, he's exempt from the Karban Pesach, like he's exempt from Aliyah L'Regel. Where in the world did this come from? Well, we do find support for it in the Gemara in Pesachim, Ayin Amud Beis, source number 12.
He can't chew it.
Sorry?
He can't chew it.
That's not a completely separate patur. He didn't mention that. He didn't mention inability to chew. He could have, but he chose not to. But take a look at this Gemara. Tanya, here's a braisa. Yehuda ben Dertoi, Piresh Hu ben Dertoi beno, v'halach v'yashav lo bedarum. There was a big machlokes regarding how you handle the karbanos, Karban Pesach, Karban Chagiga, that you're bringing, that's really the Karban Chagiga, regarding Shabbos. And so Dertoi, Yehuda ben Dertoi, felt that the Chachamim had given the wrong psak. So he and his son separated and went to live down south. Omar, he said, Im yavo eliyo v'yomalam liyisrael, mivnei l'malo chagagtem chagiga b'shabbos, mahin omrim lo. He says, if Eliyahu Hanavi would come along and say, hey, you know, you guys have been doing it wrong all this time, why didn't you do the Chagiga on Shabbos? What would they say to him? Tmihani al shnei gedoli ador shmaya ve'altalion shen chachamim gedolim v'darshanim gedolim v'lo amulan liyisrael chagiga dochas haShabbos. We don't understand these. I don't understand. Hashmaya v'altalion, these great chachamim, great darshanim, could let people make this mistake. They should be teaching everybody chagiga override Shabbos. We know people like this. Right? Who say, these rabbis, they've got it all wrong, and I don't understand why they can't tell everybody that I am right. That's what he did. So he moved down to the Negev, and everybody was happier. No, but he moves down to the Negev, he moves down to the Durham. Rashi says in source 13, V'yashav lo v'Durham, Rachok mi'Yerushalayim, Shalolalos l'regel, V'yishai v'pesach u'bachagiga. Far from Yerushalayim, so that he would not ascend for Aliyah L'Regel, and he would not be obligated in the Pesach and the Chagiga, the Kasavar Chagiga, Chova, Vafilu B'Meruba. I added in brackets to explain what that's talking about. What happens is, the reason why we eat the Chagiga is in order to make sure we'll eat the Pesach al Hasova when we're full. That's why you eat the Chagiga. So he felt that if you don't, the others said, well, you'll manage it, right? You just make sure you have enough meat, and then you have enough meat for everybody. You don't need the chagiga. And his approach was, no, you have to bring a chagiga even if you have a lot of meat. There's a mitzvah of eat the korban chagiga. So he said, they're not going to let me bring the chagiga in the Beis HaMikdash. I believe it's obligatory. So what will I do? I'll move far away, and that way I have no chiyuv. This supports Tosis' idea that you get out of Korban Pesach just like you get out of Aliyah L'Regel by being distant. Now, is distant would have to be outside of Eretz Yisrael.
So far, we haven't touched a zaken yet.
No, he presumably eventually became a zaken. But first, I have a question. Question for Tosis is along the lines of your question about a kohen. What about a ger? The Torah says explicitly, it's Shmos, Perkid Beis, Pasuk Memches, I don't think I brought it on the sheet. The Torah says explicitly that the Ger brings the Korban Pesach. Right? But he doesn't have any Yerusha. Right? He doesn't own land. So, I don't understand. How is he bringing the Korban Pesach? If you're telling me that someone who doesn't own land is Potter from Korban Pesach.
Unless he married a Jewish woman and she died and he yashened her.
You're two steps ahead of me. Hang on, I got one in between and then we're going to get to that. Good. The first step is maybe he bought land.
Well, that's
the easier one. But there's a machlokas then as to whether that actually would work. There's a machlokas because in the time when there is Yovel, the land sale will be reversed, come Yovel.
That's if you buy it.
So there's not going to be land that can be lineage traced back to an original, right,
yeah,
division or a family or a shaman, whatever.
Right.
Right, that's from one of those.
But that's only in purchase.
Right, that's land that you purchase. Right, I'm not on the inheritance case.
Right.
But the point is that then there's a debate, when I own the land, do I really own the land at all, or do I just own the produce? I have bought the right to the produce until Yovel. And if so, then it's not considered owning land for these purposes. Now, granted, the Rambam says that if you buy land and during when Yovel is active, you still bring the Bikurim. It sounds like you are the owner. Nonetheless, it's still an interesting question. So the Turei Eben in Chagiga asks the question there, because the Gemara there says that an Eved She'eno Meshuchwar, okay, an Eved who is still an Eved, is exempt from Korban Pesach, which indicates that a Meshuchrar, a freed Eved, is Chayiv. But how is he getting land? An Eved Meshuchrar, right, is a Kanani. An Eved Kanani who got freed is somebody who has no land. He's a Ger. So he answers based on the Gemara in Bechoros, which did I bring on here? Yes. Source 14. Bechoros Nun Beis Amud Beis, and this is Ivan's Gemara. He says, Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara first quotes the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Hayoresh es ishto yachzir lebnei mishpacha biyovel, v'inakalem min adamim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says that if you inherit, the man inherits from his wife, so it has to go back to her family during Yovel, and v'inakalem min adamim, he reduces the value, which, as I wrote in brackets, kesaka daitach, we assume means, danu demei pidyon, means if they want to redeem the land early, before Yovel. So he says, Maika Savar, the Gemara asks, what is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka thinking? Ika Savar Yerushas Habal de Oraisa, if he believes that a husband has a biblical right to inherit from his wife, then that should now become the husband's property. Amma Yavzir Lubnei Mishpacha, why is he giving it back in Yovel? Everybody believes it's only the Rabbanan. What is this money about? What money? They don't owe them any money. It's theirs. La'olam kesavah, Yerushas Abal de'oraisa. The answer is he believes that it's a biblical right that a husband has. Then what's the money about? So he goes into the discussion. It's where there was a grave involved and there are issues of exhuming and stuff like that and whatever. That's not our point. Our point is that Tiri Evan borrows this Gemara to show that if he marries a woman who herself had inherited land, he inherits it from her biblically. So that'll answer the question that we just asked, the question of the ger. That would be a case in which a ger would bring the carbon base.
He has to return it, we should have the same focus.
He won't have to return it. We're following the view that it's del Reis. If we accept the view that it's del Reis. Yeah, that's the way he goes with it. So again, we're on Tosfos' extrapolation of carbon Pesach from Aliyah L'Regel. We said that there's support for this idea from the Gemara about Yehuda and his son Dertoy moving far away, right? And we can resolve the question of the status of a ger. We're happy with that. But fundamentally, where in the world did he get this idea of extrapolating from Aliyah L'Regel to carbon Pesach? Why should it be true that these items that are patur for Aliyah L'Regel are automatically a patur for carbon Pesach? So we have three approaches. One is the Menchas Chinuch. If you see the paragraph Vehina, it's the end of that paragraph. Actually, this is not an approach. This is simply an argument. He says, I don't get it. The Gam Tzarech Iyun, it's the middle of Vehina, a little below the middle.
The first Vehina, right? Vehina. Mm-hmm. I'm on Vehina.
I'm sorry, I'm on the second Vehina.
I see where you're pointing.
Okay. V'gam Tzarech Iyun L'divrei HaTosfos, ma tiknu Rav Yehuda I'm sorry, you know what? That's actually not the Vehina. Good call. Because we're short on time, I'm gonna skip that. But know that it's in the other Vehine. The Menchas Chinuch says there is no mention of this rule for the Korban Pesach. He says we know of people who are potter from Aliyah L'Regel, like the Cheresh, like the Chiger, who are chayav in Korban Pesach. So he says I don't know where you got this from, right? No, it's not true. We don't extrapolate all the Aliyah L'Regel people over to Korban Pesach. Okay. The Tzlach says, you're right, you have to reread Tosfos. He says, we misread Tosfos.
You only get three examples.
Tosfos was not saying that he didn't bring the Korban Pesach because of this. Tosfos was only addressing Aliyah L'Regel. The way he reads Tosfos, if you go back to source number 2, is Ish Lomer Shalohei Elokarka Ozak Einshenu Yochol Lahalich Beraglov. That's about Aliyah L'Regel. And he was exempt from Pesach like from Re'iyah. Frankly, I don't understand how this fits the words of Tosfos. The Tzlach is trying to rewrite Tosfos, and I don't see it. Rabbi Ginnack offered an approach.
Sorry, I just don't understand. Tosfos seems to be talking about three cases only.
Correct.
That where he correlates Pesach and.
But what's the whole idea of doing the correlation? In other words, if you're going to... Okay, but even still. In other words, Naniach, that's correct. Okay, we answer the Menachas Chinuch by saying that we don't pour it over all the others. We only pour it over these three. But where did he get over the idea of bringing these three? You still have to answer for these three. How did these three go through?
You can theorize, like I said, maybe there's room to argue that Zaken is talking about the same way that Zaken is not monui on the Psachim. Because he can't chew, and Chiger Baraglov, maybe somebody carries him, but let's say he can't do it on his own steam and he can't be carried. So it's a hech attempt to where he wouldn't be able to. I don't know.
I don't see it. Hey, what you're saying is not the Tzlach. What you're saying is just
In other words, what gives me a reason to say this is because he limits the three cases only. Tosfos right. Only brings down three cases. You said lav dafka, but why bring down just?
But
three
even
cases
if it, even if it is only these three, why these three?
Maybe there's room to maneuver on these three.
I don't see it. I just don't see it. I hear what you're saying. I just don't see it. The Tzlach's answer is that Tosfos was not asking why he didn't bring the Karban Pesach. He doesn't bring the Karban Pesach because he's far away. That was the Tzlach's approach. Rabbi Yanak offers another approach. He says maybe it's like what we said regarding Bechor. The logic of the extrapolation is that Karban Pesach requires that you bring it that you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, right? So those who are potter from going for Aliyah L'Regel are automatically potter from going for the Karban Pesach. We just said you don't have to go. You don't have to go, then how are you bringing your Karban Pesach? You can't do Karban Pesach by remote control. Right? Other Karbanos, I could send a Chatos with somebody else. Well, you do have the Smicha issue. So actually, I can't send a Chatos with somebody else. I'll take that back. The
Karban Pesach, what would we do together?
Right, but I have to bring it to eat it. I can't eat it away from Yerushalayim.
The problem is not the bringing the problem.
Right, the problem is not the shechita per se, correct.
The problem is eating.
Yes, the problem is that I am going to have to end up there that day, one way or another. So that's a big next proposal, is that the extrapolation is simply that these are three people who don't have to be there for Aliyah L'Regel, and yes, it should apply to all the others who don't have to be there for Aliyah L'Regel, and they're exempt from Karban Pesach too, even though we don't have any such precedent. The last point I wanted to get to, we'll hold for next week. It's too good a question to rush through. It's the Menachas Chinuch taking on the Tzlach. He says, the Tzlach is trying to tell me that you're exempt from Karban Pesach because you're far away. Now, it's true. We do know that Pesach Sheni for someone who is Derech Rechoka. Are you trying to tell me that anybody who lives far away has no chiyuv to get himself within bounds in time for Pesach? He can simply say, well, too bad, I'm Pater, I live in Etzivan, I'm Pater from Karban Pesach. That would be a wild comment. And there's stuff to say on this. So that will hold for next time. But what we've seen so far is that the, number one, the Ptur from Aliyah L'Regel, Tosfos presents us with three possibilities. The Zaken, which fits what we know. The lack of Karka, which we could explain from that Gemara Masechta about Aliyah Modi Ishes Artzacha. You need to abandon land in order to have the mitzvah. The Rambam didn't bring it, and not everybody agrees with Rabbi Ami. Or maybe it's because the Rambam was pointing to your phantom four Amos. And then the third approach from Tosfos is because you're in Chutz La'aretz, it's even being outside of Eretz Yisrael, and the idea would be, perhaps, either that it's like with bringing the Bechor animal, you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, you have no chiyuv of Havas Makom, of bringing it there. Or alternatively, like the Torah Evan said, owning land outside of Israel is not called owning land. That was our first phase. Second, how did we go from Aliyah L'Regel to Karban Pesach? So, first of all, we showed that there is a basis from that story about Yehuda and his son moving to be far away. We showed that if you do extrapolate from Aliyah L'Regel to Karban Pesach, that doesn't necessarily ban all Gerim from participating in the Karban Pesach because he could have the Yerusha case, in which he will inherit land if we take the Del-Raisa, the view that he inherits from his wife Del-Raisa. And the last point, where did Tosfos get this idea to do the extrapolation, as the Menachas Chinuch asks? So the Tzlach says he didn't. He wasn't extrapolating. Rabbi Ganax says, maybe no, maybe it works. Since you don't have to be there for Aliyah L'Regel, therefore you're not chayav in Karban Pesach either. What still remains is the question against the Tzlach. You believe that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseira doesn't have to go for Aliyah L'Regel because he's outside the zone. Are you trying to tell me that no one who lives outside the zone has a chiyuv to try to get himself into the zone for Pesach?